truly can ruin anyone's desires and motivations to do anything. Now, obviously today, and really any day of a believer's life, our main focus should be our desire to what we can do each and every day for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're going to see an example of what happens when one chooses to be a procrastinator. So out of reverence for God's holy and infallible word, if you'd stand and follow along as we read from Acts 24, verses 24 through 27. It says here in the very beginning, or the heading of my Bible that I have today, it says, Felix procrastinates. So we're going to see exactly what Felix did and where his mistake was made. It says, But when Felix heard these things, having more accurate knowledge of the way, he adjourned the proceedings and said with Lysias, the commander comes down, I will make a decision on your case, talking about Paul. And so then it says in 23, it says, So he'll command the centurion to keep Paul and let him have liberty, and told him not to forbid any of his friends to provide for or visit him. Now we'll go into verse 24. It says, And after some days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now as he reasoned about righteousness, he, being Felix, as Felix reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid. And he answered and said, Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you. Meanwhile, he also hoped that money would be given him by Paul, a bribery, that he might release him. Therefore, he sent for him more often and conversed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus succeeded Felix, and Felix, wanting to do the Jews a favor, left Paul abound. You may be seated, and may God add a blessing for the remainder of this service. Felix made some very poor decisions, but we'll go and visit that dreadful decision that he made, that postponement, that procrastinating decision in a moment. But I want to just give you the definition of the word procrastination, meaning to put off intentionally or habitually. Now, with the new year coming in very quickly, we think about, matter of fact, I want you to today sometime, or at least before we get too far into the 2018 year, I want you to reflect on this past year that you've lived, and maybe even reflect on years past, but look back at this past year, and maybe even look back over the last week and see where you procrastinated, where you intentionally put off something that you know that you needed to do. Maybe for some of you, you have procrastinated to take down your Christmas decorations. Maybe they're still up. But maybe for some of you, you got them down immediately, and they're already stowed away for the next Christmas season. But those are just examples of things that people may do. They want to, you know, we look forward to the Christmas season of decorating, but then, you know, really, the cleaning up part is never any fun. You know, it's like when you prepare a meal, the meal itself is fun. The cleanup process is not really as much fun. You maybe want to procrastinate. The dishes may continue to pile high. You are putting off that chore that needs to be done. And so if we begin to do this with God, then it becomes a habit. And the next thing you know, you have procrastinated of studying His Word or being in church like you should, or doing the things that God needs you to do. And so then the next word I want to give you the definition for is assassination. Now, we all know what the one definition of assassinate means, but I want to give you the other definition, definition number two, in Merriam-Webster, where it says it means to treacherously to destroy, treacherous destruction, or to totally do away with. So we're procrastinating, and then it's assassinating that key word, which is motivation. Motivation is an incentive or a drive, something that it encourages you. Sorry. So, but I want you to think about that for a moment as we do begin to make resolutions, which next week we'll talk about resolutions as well. Matter of fact, who can really tell me the only true resolution? Who wants to say that out loud right now? Anybody? Say His name. Jesus. He's the only resolution. You know, we can make numerous resolutions and we know that we're not going to keep them. You may stick to them for a while, but Jesus has made a resolution for you and for me, and He has kept it, and He'll continue to do so until He calls us home. But we do try to make resolutions, and I will be honest, I have one there that it's at the forefront of my life right now. I've managed to gain about 4 or 5 pounds since the 1st of December. So my first resolution is I got to get back to eating the way I was eating before the holiday season rolled in. The boys got those little miniature candy canes full of little Kit Kats and little Reese's Buttercups, you know, and if you eat one here and there, that stuff starts to add up. And so I'm thankfully ready to see those things gone from our house. But that's one resolution that I know I've got to make, is I got to get back to eating better. And maybe you've had some resolutions that you've already thought about making as well, but what do we do with our resolutions? If you say, well, I'm going to start on January the 2nd. Well, then I'm going to start on January the 3rd. And the next thing you know, the whole month of January has passed you by and you've put off intentionally. And so then it becomes a very habitual thing for you. And so your motivation has now been assassinated by your lack or desire to do what you feel is right. And so that is the same context with doing what is right for God. We procrastinate for Him. It assassinates our desires, our drive, our love, and then it really ruins our motivation. So the question I want to ask you today, though, is do you feel that this creates a positive or a negative effect on your life? And obviously, to me, I would say that it would have to be in a negative effect if you constantly choose to put off the things that you know you need to be doing. And so, but I guess I'd say, though, we still continue to let it happen. We know deep down in our heart, we say that gut feeling. We know that we need to get up and we need to be doing. What, no matter what, no matter if you know it's the house that needs to be cleaned or there's someone you need to go visit or there's just something that you need to do and you put it off and you put it off and you put it off. And we're so guilty of that. So we know it has a very negative effect on our lives. So the main question and our focus, I guess, today, though, is from a Christian's point of view, is what does procrastination do to jeopardize your relationship with God? That's the main focus for today. What does it do to your witness, your testimony, when you constantly are putting off, knowing there's things that God has mapped out for you to do, but yet you choose not to participate, you choose to put it off. And we see here that Felix made a very poor decision. So as I said, sometime today, and you may have already done this, you may have already began to reflect on the year that you have just lived in 2017. And you know, I know we say this jokingly, but to me, it really, I can't believe that tomorrow is a new year. It goes by so fast. And that's just a prime example of how quickly life passes us by and how quickly we continually make mistakes of not doing exactly what it is that God gives us. Each day goes by so very fast, and you know that every day that goes by, every second that ticks by, every minute that passes you by, and you haven't done what God needs you to do, that's a moment in time that you're not going to get back. That's another blessing from God that you may not receive because of your desire to be a procrastinator. Now, I will tell you this. Mr. Mark, I'm going to take this off. I can't get it to fit around my ear very well today. But I'm going to tell you a story. I think my at USC Yale after I graduated, and that didn't work very well for me either because I just didn't really like school. I liked the social aspect of school, but that was really it. And so I tried school for a year, and that really wasn't my idea either. So I began working and started making a little money, and I said, hey, I like money. So I quit school for 5 years, and then I realized, hey, I better go back because I don't want to crawl on my hands and knees underneath people's houses and in people's attics doing heating and air. And so I went back to school. And even when I went back to school that second time, I had to pay for it on my own this time because, you know, mom and daddy was going to help me the first go around, but when I quit, that was it. And so I had to pay for it on my own, and so I realized, oh, I don't want to lose my money, so I better get on it. But even though I was at school at Winthrop and I was doing my work as I was supposed to, I would know, you know, those professors give you that syllabus at the very beginning of the year, and it tells you, hey, this assignment's going to be due then, this assignment's going to be due then. And, you know, I would see that date, and I was like, oh, man, I got plenty of time. And the next thing you know, that assignment's due the next day. And I would still procrastinate and put it off. And some people say, oh, I work better under pressure. Well, that may be the very case for you. But I still would put off and put off. And then I would be cramming all night long to get that paper written or whatever that project needed to be done. And not just me, my roommates, we would all work together on those types of things. But how easy it is to be a procrastinator. But we're going to talk today, though, from a scriptural standpoint, from a believer's standpoint, that being a procrastinator is a sin. Because when you procrastinate, you're actually living under bondage. And we know that God's plan for our lives was not to live in bondage. So you may not look at procrastination as a sin, but it actually is. Because if it's something that you constantly are putting off and you're not doing as you should, that means that you are adding an extra burden to your life that doesn't necessarily need to be there. So I'm looking at this from a life point of view. But when we look at it from a Christian's point of view, think about how much you put off for God. Every day, myself included. Think about how much you put off for God. And so here we see that Felix, his intentions may not have been to be a procrastinator per se, but his words indicated otherwise. And so procrastination is a true bondage in one's personal life. And we know that God desires the best for us. He doesn't want us to be enslaved to whatever it is that you're putting off. And I mean, and for you adults, it may be something of a great and serious matter for you. But for some of the children today, it may be the fact that they do need to clean their room and they're not doing what they're supposed to do. They're putting it off. But if their parents have commanded or asked them to clean their room and they're not doing it, well, they're disobeying their parents, but also they're disobeying God because they're not obeying their parents. And so even as a child, it is a sinful attitude to have. And so we need to make sure that we're able to get out of being a procrastinator, no matter what the cost may be. And so that word bondage, as I mentioned, it literally means the state of being bound, usually by compulsion or coercion. And so now I want to ask you this question. What compels you? What compels you in life? What are your desires in life? What drives you to do whatever it may be? I'll use Dalton, for example, this morning. You know, Dalton is an avid football player. And so what drives you, Dalton, to get in that weight room? You're not just going to wake up, no matter how much milk you drink, no matter how much protein you take in, you're not going to wake up buffed and big and strong. You're not going to learn to be a better football player by just reading the playbook. You got to go and apply it. And so you're not going to learn or know how to be a better Christian or a faithful servant of God if you don't read His Word and then go try to apply it. And so what is your driving force? What compels you? And for Christians, our driving force, there really should be only one, and it should be Jesus. Jesus should be our compeller. He should be the one who coerces us into doing exactly what is right at all times. I want to give you, though, today, three typical causes that generate procrastination. Now, these three causes are things that I thought of. You may have other things that cause you to procrastinate. But the one that I want to give you is wanting to avoid awkwardness. Now, you think about that, you know, the awkwardness, that moment in time where you just don't know what to say, or you don't know what to do or how to respond. And so, you know, none of us really like to feel uncomfortable in those types of situations. But it's very important that we learn how to avoid awkwardness. And when you can learn to avoid that awkwardness, then you are able to conquer a means of procrastination. And so James 1:22 tells us, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So that's the first thing that you can do to combat that awkward moment in time for you. When you don't know what to say. And of course, there's a contemporary Christian song that says, when you don't know what to say, just say Jesus. And sometimes that might be the right thing to say, or maybe someone needs you to be with them and you don't know what to say. You don't have the right words. Just sit there with them. Meditate with them. Pray with them. Hold their hand. Sometimes you don't have to say anything. Sometimes the best thing is silence.
And that person just knows that you're there. So what do? You're to be a doer of the word, not just hearing it today on Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday, or maybe you listen to commentaries going down the road or whatever. You hear it, but you got to be a doer of. You got to be able to go and apply what you're hearing. Because it says here in James 21:22, if you are only a hearer of God's word, what are you doing? You're deceiving yourself. And if you're deceiving yourself, you're then also deceiving those who are around you. Be a doer of his word. This is how you can avoid that awkwardness. Many people put off taking action because of that related anxiousness or that uncomfortable feeling. And you know you've all been there. You've all been in that position where something may happen tragically in one's life or something is going wrong in someone's life and you feel like you need to say something, but you don't know what to say. And so you just avoid this person altogether or you avoid the situation altogether hoping that, oh, it'll work itself out. But you don't know this. You may be the only person. You may be the very one person that individual needs to hear from or that individual needs to see. And so if you avoid that awkward moment by being a procrastinator, then you are living in bondage. You are doing exactly what Satan wants you to do. As we've already mentioned, we look at Felix and what he says. He heard Paul talk about righteousness. He heard Paul talk about self-control and judgment. And so when he heard all of that, he pondered on those words because it said he was afraid. So he was listening. He was taking in all of those words that Paul was saying. But then, and you've all been there, he heard, he was probably even being convicted of what Paul was saying to him. Then he shut the door immediately. He closed that door and he sent Paul away. He said, well, if I can get him out of sight, out of mind, then I'm good to go and I don't have to worry about Paul's words about this man called Jesus any longer. I don't have to worry about righteousness and self-control and judgment. Because you think about it, if you're having a conversation with someone and maybe they've come to you needing advice or comfort and you begin to maybe reveal some of the sins that are in their lives, doing it in a brotherly fashion, brotherly love, Christ-like love, and they begin to hear that, oh, you're beginning to reveal these sins in their lives, what are they going to do? Most of the time, they're going to shut the door or change the conversation and head in a different direction. Well, this is what happened with Felix. Paul was beginning to let Felix know that, hey, this is where you're going wrong in life, and if you don't make a change, Felix, you're going to die, and you're going to go to hell. You're going to be separated from God. Well, that's all Felix wanted to hear then. He said, you're not going to judge me. You're not going to tell me that I'm living incorrectly. So he had enough of what Paul had to say, so he sent him away. And, you know, the one thing that I'm impressed with Paul is the fact that Paul did not attempt to flatter Felix. He didn't try to be a soothsayer. He didn't try to give him those sweet, gentle words that just tickled his ears. Paul was letting him know the truth. And that's what we're to do. You know, I don't want to ever come here on Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday and just try to tickle your ears and tell you that, hey, that life's going to be okay and that if you just keep doing the good things in life that you're going to make it. The day that I start doing that is the day that you'll need to ask me to leave. Because that's not how it's going to be. And Paul knew this. We all have to be like Paul. We all have to be able to stand up and give an account of exactly what it is that God needs us to do every single day, not when it's convenient. Matter of fact, that's one of the words that Felix even used. Christianity is not a convenience. You can't be a Christian when it's convenient. Felix had the reins of Paul's life. That's something else that's very important too to know is that Felix is in total control of Paul's life. Life or death is what I mean. And Paul did not stray away from. He continued to press on and letting Felix know that say, hey, look, if you don't make these decisions, these choices, these correct choices, Felix, you're going to end up in trouble. Far worse trouble than what I, Paul, am in right now. Felix did not want to hear of it. Felix was actually hoping that Paul was going to actually send him some money his way from his friends, was going to bribe him to give him a monetary gift so that he would then release Paul sooner than later. But Paul knew that was not part of God's plan. So now I want to look at the second cause of what can hinder your desires to not be a procrastinator. So the first was avoiding awkwardness, and the second one is self-doubt. Now, all of us have been there. I'm there. We all can be in that point in our lives where we have self-doubts, where we feel like we are not capable of doing what God has called us to do. And you're right, you're not. I'm not. I don't come up here on Sunday mornings to be with you all because I'm that good, or I'm that strong, or I'm that knowledgeable. It's only because of God that I'm able to stand up here right now and open my mouth and let Him speak through me. He has chosen me. So yes, there's sometimes I do still have self-doubt, and I ask sometimes, I can't believe that God has called me out to be a pastor, to be a minister, knowing the life that I used to live and knowing the way that I used to conduct my life and even the way I still live. We know that none of us are perfect. We're not going to be perfect until that one day. But God has a special plan for all of us. But we're so self-absorbed and we doubt ourselves that we can't do what God wants us to do when we're missing out. We cannot be that way. We can't. And see, Satan loves that. He loves it when you doubt yourselves. He loves it when you feel like you don't have the tangible skills that it takes to do a task at the church. He loves that you're scared to stand up and speak in front of other people at church. He loves when you won't pray out loud. He loves if you won't join the choir. He loves if you just stand there and hold your hymn book and just kind of mumble through the words. Satan loves that. Because if you're not singing and making a joyful noise with a smile on your face, then you're not displaying the love of God. Those are the types of things. So you doubt yourself because you say, I can't really sing. I'm not a good teacher. I'm not a good communicator. Of course you're not. But through God you are. And that's what matters, because that's what we're doing. We're doing exactly what God wants to do, that He is going to take care of it. He is going to give you the necessary tools that it takes. Because I'm going to be honest with you. Just looking, I mean, many teachers, as a matter of fact, when I decided I wanted to be a teacher, I went back and subbed at AJ Middle School and AJ High School. And some of the teachers that I bumped into, they knew me as Michael, who liked to talk and cut up and have a fun time in school. And then when I told them I was going to be a teacher and then I was getting ready to graduate from Winthrop, some of them didn't laugh in my face, but I could tell they had a little smug look on their face because I can't, like, then they were like, I hope you get 25 kids just like you kind of comments, you know. But that's how they were. They were surprised, but I didn't go to Winthrop on my own. God had a plan for me all alone, but I didn't recognize it at the time. He was preparing me to be a teacher, to be a preacher. Because I've told you before, getting up in front of a large group of people was not something that I enjoyed doing. I love communicating with small groups and one-on-ones. I could do that anytime. But it's through God that I'm able to stand up here on Sundays for you all. And on Sunday night and on Wednesdays. It's God. And He can use you in that very same way. And I would love to know, you know, we don't know. But I guarantee you right now, there is a young person in this room that could either easily be a missionary. Easily be a choir leader, a preacher, an evangelist. There's no telling. And you know, the thing about it is, reflect on your life and think about all the times that you probably put off what God needed you to do and you missed out. But if you have a heartbeat today and you're still passing blood through your heart and oxygen through your lungs and your body, then you still have life, then that means you still got work to do for God. He wants to use you. That's His desire. So put away self-doubt. Don't worry about trying to please man or self. Worry about, focus on doing the will of the Father. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." See, God's already mapped it out for you. He's already taken care of you. He is the source of life. He is the sustainer of life. He will give you the desires of your heart. He will give you the knowledge, the know-how to do exactly what it is that He needs you to do. But you've got to go to Him and tell Him, God, I'm willing. I don't want to be a procrastinator any longer for you, God. I want to do what it is that you would have me to do that will bring honor and that will bring glory to you, Father. And then our third cause is Satan himself. Satan is controlling many things in this life. He cannot control you. He can discourage you, but he cannot control you if you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit within your heart today. But he can do whatever possible to discourage you, to send you in an opposite direction. 1 Peter 5:8-9 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." And that's something that we must always remember is that you may be going through something very difficult right now, but I guarantee you have a friend in this church or a friend outside of this church who's going through something very similar. So don't feel like it's just all on you. Everybody has their struggles every day. Everybody. But you've got Jesus, and that's all that you need. That lion, that roaring lion, Satan himself, he would love to devour you and ruin your life so that you can't be that shining light to the community as God wants you to be. He would love to. You can't let him. 1 John 4, 4 says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." Is he in you? How important is that to know? That's the main reason why you should never have self-doubt that you can't do anything, because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Now, if you go and try to do it through yourself, you may be successful for a while, but eventually you're going to fail. But when you go and do the things that God has called you to do, and you do it through the name of Jesus, the precious Son of God, he will use you, and he will be magnified, and he will be glorified. In your spiritual life, you may sometimes postpone Bible reading and meditating because God is needing you to do that. He's wanting you to do that. And so I want you to think about right now your daily life. Think about all the things that comes up that hinders you from doing what God wants you to do. I can give you an example for me right now. College bowl season, football season's on. And I've watched almost every game that's been on. And there's been times where I know I should have been picking up the Bible and reading God's Word instead of watching that football game. All of us have those types of things that come in our lives. Your family can be your reason for procrastination. It could be your friends. It could be your work. It could be your smartphone. It could be your laptop. It could be whatever particular hobby you truly enjoy. Every one of us has those types of things within our lives that hinders us from doing more for God and studying His Word. All of us. But as I said, when we begin to try to spend time alone with God, he can then begin to reveal areas in our lives that we need to work on. And so when that confrontation with God begins to take place, you may want to shy away from it because you don't want that sin revealed in your life. You don't want to find out the error in your way, because when it's been revealed to you, you know that, hey, you've got to make a decision. You've got to choose to fix it and do what God wants you to do, or you choose to ignore God and continue to do what self wants to do. And we know the answer to that is choosing God. But that's not always the case. There's issues like pride and guilt or self-control that may be brought up within your lives. And when those things are revealed, you don't want to work on them, because the main issue is always, to me, my personal belief, is pride. Not willing to humble yourself to God, no matter the situation. But God needs us to. He wants us to understand and know that procrastinating and putting off is truly the assassination of all motivation for Him. And when we realize that and we can wrap our minds around that, then God can begin to use us in a much greater and more powerful way. But unfortunately, we begin to, I'd say, delay our actions. And once you begin to delay those actions, that intentional, habitual choice of not doing what God wants you to do will intervene. And I know that affects us each and every day, because, we see it in our churches. We see that there's so much work that needs to be done or can be done, but it's only a select few that typically step up to do it. And it's not that not one person in this room is not capable of. It's just a matter of choosing to do it. It's so easy. It's easy. And so God just simply wants us to be able to give a portion of our time to Him. And then when you begin to give that smaller portion of time to Him, you'll then want to give more to Him. You'll then want to give more to Him. And that's the main goal. He just wants you to give yourself to Him and let Him use you. But He doesn't want us to delay in this decision. He wants us to press forward. He wants us to not worry about being preoccupied with the awkwardness of life. He wants us to focus on the glory of God, which is doing exactly what He wants us to do. And I think something else that may also hinder our decisions too is, it kind of coincides with self-doubt, is fear. Fear of failure. I mean, nobody wants to fail. And I think that really is a drawback. We are afraid that we're going to mess up. Well, that's okay. If you make a mistake, that's okay. If you do something incorrectly, that's okay. But we know that God is there for us, and He will fix those mistakes and those areas of our lives where we mess up. Fear in itself is a liar. Satan is fear. So therefore, Satan is a liar. We can look to God's Word for encouragement, but if we don't place ourselves in His Word daily, then that's when Satan seeps in. And once Satan begins to seep in, and when he finds that crack in your armor, when he finds that little chink in the armor, and he goes in, he's there. So recognize the chinks, the cracks in your armor, and allow God to mend those back and fix them so Satan cannot seep in, so he cannot be like that lion seeking whomever he may devour. Do you submit to postponement? Do you submit to procrastination? Think about that. Think about just the last week alone. And I know during the holidays sometimes our schedules are a little bit different than normal, but think about all the opportunities that probably walked right in front of you that you did not take advantage of to let your light shine for Christ. In closing, I do want to look at one final verse, a verse that we've already read, but I want to go back and let's look at verse 25 of Acts 24. So if you would, go there and follow along as I read that verse one more time. This is speaking of Felix. Paul had already spoken with him and had began to open his eyes or attempt to open his eyes and heart, but Felix didn't really want to hear it. And so Felix says in verse 25, "And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled," saying, meaning he was afraid. "And he answered to Paul, 'Go thy way for this time, and when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee.'" So in those words that I just read that you just follow along, what word comes to mind or what jumps out at you the most? Anybody want to say? Convenience. And as I read that, I thought about that. And I think sometimes we can be convenient seasoned Christians, myself included. That word convenient meaning suited to personal comfort. To be a full-fledged Christian, to do exactly what God wants you to do. Remember a couple of weeks ago we spoke on that comfort zone. Well, to be a steward of God's will, you got to step out and do the things that are really inconvenient sometimes. God will reward you. But Felix here, he said, "Go away, Paul, and maybe when I have a convenient season, I'll call for you." Looking at the year 2017, how many convenient seasons did you live through? I don't mean summer, fall, spring, and winter. The convenient seasons of life. And that's what Felix wanted. He said, "Well, when it's convenient, maybe I'll reflect on this word that you've shared with me and I'll try to make a change." But we know that tomorrow is not promised. The very next breath is not promised. And so you cannot wait till it's convenient. Because there's never going to be a convenient time to step up and to recognize the sin in your life. There's never going to be a convenient time. There will never be a convenient time to hear about one sin. And I'm thankful that Paul gave us a verse in 2 Corinthians 6:2 that says, "In an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Nobody has ever gotten saved tomorrow. It's got to be today. Are you living a life of convenience? If you begin to do more work for the Lord Jesus Christ, is it going to be an inconvenience for you? It may be at first, because you're going to have to make some changes in your life, in the way you live, in the way you manage time. But if you constantly are procrastinating and you're living in that bondage of putting off and putting off and putting off, then you're not living in the will of the Father. Jesus Himself does not want you to live in that bondage being chained, whatever it may be. He doesn't want you living in it. He went to that cross so that he could break those very chains for you. Sadly for Felix, he was hoping for Paul to bribe him with money, as we've already discussed, so that he could release him. But as I said, this was not part of God's plan. He didn't want Paul to give him money so that he could be let go. He needed Paul to stay in that prison. And Paul stayed there for 2 more years. The convenient time never appeared to Felix. And you can go back and read those verses that we read this morning. After Felix's time was up as governor, a new governor came into play. And Felix left Paul in that jail. And Felix went on his merry way. And I couldn't find anywhere in the scriptures that ever said that Felix found that convenient season. There's nowhere that I read that he came back to Paul another time. That's why you cannot let opportunities pass you by, because you may not ever get another. I don't want you to be like Felix. I don't want to be like Felix. Don't put off what God has in store for you. Remember, to avoid awkwardness, you need to be a doer of God's word. When self-doubt arises, you need to remember that you are the workmanship of God. You are a child of the one true King. You can resist the devil, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And if you go back and look at that verse, 1 John 4:4, it says, because he who, that he is capitalized, and then the he that is in the world, that he is not capitalized. To differentiate, he being the Lord Jesus Christ, who is in you, than he who is in the world, he being Satan. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. This is one thing that you should not, shall not ever procrastinate about, is whether or not you are a born again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Before 2017 comes to an end and we enter into a new year, you need to examine your life, your heart, and know without a shadow of a doubt, if God calls you home now, he raptures the church tomorrow, who knows? Only God knows. But if that happens, if that event takes place, will you be able to rest in the sheltering arms of the Lord Jesus Christ? You've got to know that. I can't know it for you. Your mom, your dad, your husband, your wife can't know it for you. You've got to know within your heart. Do not let procrastination be the assassination of your motivation to do the will of the Father. Let us pray. God, we come to you today with an open heart and an open mind, thankful for all that you do in our lives each and every day, God. And Father, I know that we're all so very guilty of procrastinating. From the smallest of tasks to the greatest, God, we all have failed in this area in our lives at some point. But God, may we all know today, before we leave this sanctuary, Father, may we know that you reside within our heart, and that you are able, only you are able, to break us from the bondage of sin in itself, God. Father, I pray a special blessing on every family that is here today. God, I thank you for allowing them to be in your house of worship today, God. But as we do embrace a new year, may every one of us strive to put you at the center of our lives every day, God. Not in a convenient season, but every day, Father. Lord, we do love you and we do praise you. In your glorious name, I do pray. Amen.